implications because it had been going on for such a long time, and frankly, he was embarrassed by his son's behavior. "He's too big for this," he complained to us. We ask him, "When you come into the bedroom in the morning, what happens?" "Well, as soon as I walk into his room, I can tell by the odor that he's wet the bed again," he told us. "And how do you feel about that?" "Helpless, angry, frustrated. This has been going on for a long time, and I don't know what to do about it," he said. "What do you say to your son?" "I tell him to get out of those wet clothes and get into the bathtub. I tell him he's too big for this, and that we've talked about this before." We told this father that he was actually perpetuating bedwetting. We explained to him, when the way you feel is controlled by a condition, you can never influence a change in the condition. But when you're able to control the way you feel within a condition, then you have the power to influence change in the condition. For example, when you enter your son's bedroom and become aware that something that you do not want has happened, if you would stop for a moment to think about that thing that has happened that you do not want, asking yourself what it is that you do want, and then further enforcing that side of the pivotal equation by asking yourself why you want it, not only would you immediately feel better, but you would soon begin to see the results of your positive influence. "What do you want?" we ask. He said, "I want my little one to wake up happy and dry and proud of himself and to not be embarrassed." This father felt relief as he focused upon what he wanted, because in making that effort, he found harmony with his desire. We told him, "As you're thinking those sorts of thoughts, then what will be oozing out of you will be harmony with what you do want rather than harmony with what you do not want. And you'll be more positively influencing your son. Then words will come out of you such as, 'Oh, this is all part of growing up, and all of us have been through this, and you're growing up very fast. Now get out of those wet clothes and get into the bathtub.'" This young father called very soon after that and happily reported that the bedwetting had stopped.
"Whenever I'm feeling bad, I'm attracting unwanted."
While almost everyone is aware of how they feel in varying degrees, there are few who understand the important guidance that their feelings or emotions provide. In the most simple of terms, whenever you feel bad, you are in the process of attracting something that will not please you. Without exception, the reason for negative emotion is because you're focused upon something you do not want or upon the lack or absence of something that you do want. Many regard negative emotion as something unwanted, but we prefer to see it as important guidance to help you understand the direction of your focus, therefore the direction of your vibration, therefore the direction of what you are attracting. You could call it a warning bell because it certainly does give you a signal that lets you know that it's time to pivot. We prefer to call it a guiding bell. Your emotions are your guidance system to assist you in understanding what you are in the process of creating with every thought you think. Often people who are beginning to understand the power of thought and the importance of focusing upon good feeling subjects are embarrassed or even angry at themselves when they find themselves in the midst of negative emotion. But there's no reason to be angry at yourself for having a perfectly functioning guidance system. Whenever you become aware that you're feeling negative emotion, begin by complimenting yourself for being aware of your guidance, and then gently try to improve the feeling by choosing thoughts that feel better. We would call this a very subtle process of pivoting, whereby you gently choose better feeling thoughts. Whenever you feel negative emotion, you could say to yourself, "I'm feeling some negative emotion, which means I'm in the process of attracting something that I do not want. What is it that I do want?" Often, just acknowledging that you want to feel good will help turn your thoughts in a better feeling direction. But it is important to understand the distinction between wanting to feel good and not wanting to feel bad. Some people think that it's just two different ways of saying the same thing, when actually those two statements are exact opposite with huge vibrational differences. If you can begin to orient your thoughts by steadily looking for things that cause you to feel good, you will begin to develop patterns of thoughts or beliefs that will help you create magnificent, good-feeling lives.
My thoughts dovetail into stronger matching thoughts.
Whatever thought you're focused upon, whether it's a memory from your past, something that you're observing in your present, or something you're anticipating in your future, that thought is active within you right now, and it is attracting other thoughts and ideas that are similar. Not only do your thoughts attract other thoughts that are of a similar nature, but the longer you focus, the stronger the thoughts become and the more attraction power they amass. Our friend Jared likens this to the ropes he once observed while watching a large ship being docked. It was to be tied with a rope that was very large, too big and bulky to be thrown across the expanse of water. And so instead, a small ball of twine was tossed across the water to the dock. That twine had been spliced into a little bigger rope, which had been spliced into a little bigger rope, which had been spliced into a little bigger rope, until eventually the very large rope could easily be pulled across the expanse of water, and the ship was then secured to the dock. This is similar to the way your thoughts dovetail one to another, with one connecting to another, and so on. Upon some subjects, because you've been pulling upon the negative rope longer, it's very easy for you to get off on a negative tangent. In other words, it just takes a little negative utterance from someone, a memory of something, or a suggestion that takes you into a negative tailspin right away. Your point of attraction predominantly occurs from the day-to-day things that you are thinking about as you're moving through your day, and you have the power to direct your thoughts positively or negatively. For example, you're in a grocery store, and you notice that something that you regularly purchase has increased substantially in price, and you feel strong discomfort wash over you. You may very well think that you're just feeling shock over the sudden spike in the price of this item, and that since you have no say in what the grocer charges for the items, that you have no option other than to feel discomfort about it. However, we want to point out to you that your feeling of discomfort is not because of the grocer's action of raising the price of the goods for sale, but instead it's because of the direction of your own thoughts. Just like the analogy of the rope tied to the rope tied to the rope tied to the rope, your thoughts are tied to one another and travel quickly to heightened vibrational places. For example, "Wow, the price of this is much greater than it was just last week. This price jump seems unreasonable. There's nothing reasonable about the greed in the marketplace. Things are getting way out of hand. I don't know where it's all headed. It doesn't seem like we can go on like this. Our economy's in trouble. I can't afford these inflated prices. I'm having a hard time making ends meet. I can't seem to earn it fast enough to keep up with the increase in the cost of living." And of course, this negative train of thought could move in many directions, toward blame of the grocer, to the economy, to your government, but it usually always turns back to the way you feel that the situation will negatively impact you, because everything that you observe feels personal to you. And everything in truth is personal to you, because you're offering a vibration about it that is affecting what is now being attracted to you by your choice of thoughts. If you are aware of how you are feeling, and you understand that your emotions are indicating the direction of your thoughts, then you can more deliberately guide your thoughts. For example, "Wow, the price of this is much greater than it was last week. However, I'm not aware of the other things in my basket. They could be the same or maybe even a bit lower. I wasn't really paying attention. This one just got my attention because it was so much greater. Prices do fluctuate. I always manage. Things are going up a bit, but it's working out all right. It is quite an impressive system of distribution that makes this variety of goods so accessible to us." Once you've decided that you care about feeling good, you will find it easier to more consistently choose a better feeling direction in your thoughts. When the desire to feel good is effectively active within you, a consistent inspiration toward good-feeling thoughts will be present, and you'll find it easier and easier to direct your thoughts in productive directions. Your thoughts contain enormous creative, attractive power that you harness effectively only by consistently offering good-feeling thoughts. When your thoughts constantly move back and forth between wanted and unwanted, pros and cons, pluses and minuses, you lose the benefit of the momentum of your pure positive thought.
Creating a book of positive aspects.
In the first year of Jerry Nestor's work with us, they were using small hotel meeting rooms in different cities, always wanting to provide a comfortable place where people could gather to address their personal questions with us. There was a hotel in the city of Austin that always seemed to forget they were coming, even though Esther had made arrangements with the hotel, signed contracts, even called in the days just prior to the event to confirm. The hotel was always able to accommodate them, even though when they arrived no one seemed to be expecting them, but it was very uncomfortable for Jerry and Esther to be in the position of urging the hotel to hurry to get the room ready before their guests arrived. Finally, Esther said, "I think we should find a new hotel." And we said, "That might be a good idea, but remember, you will take yourselves with you." "What do you mean?" Esther asked a bit defensively. We explained to her, if you take action from your perspective of lack, the action is always counterproductive. In fact, it is likely that the new hotel will treat you just like the last one did. Jerry and Esther laughed at our explanation because they'd already moved from one hotel to another for the very same reason. Well, what should we do? They ask. We encourage them to purchase a new notebook and write boldly across the front cover of it, "My Book of Positive Aspects." And on the first page of the book, write, "Positive Aspects of This Hotel in Austin." And so Esther began to write, "It's a beautiful facility. It's immaculate. It's very well situated. It's close to the interstate. It's easy to find. There are many different sized rooms to accommodate our increasing numbers. The hotel staff is friendly." And as Esther was making those entries, her feeling about the hotel changed from one of negative to one of positive. And in the moment that she began to feel better, her attraction from the hotel changed. She did not write, "They're always ready and waiting for us," because that had not been her experience, and writing that would have evoked a feeling of contradiction or a feeling of defense or a feeling of justification from her. But by wanting to feel good and by deliberately focusing her attention more upon the things about the hotel that did feel good, Esther's point of attraction regarding the hotel shifted, and then something Esther found very interesting happened. The hotel never forgot they were coming again. Esther was amused to realize that the hotel had not been forgetting about their agreement because they were uncaring or disorganized. The staff was simply being influenced by her dominant thought about them. In short, they could not buck the current of Esther's negative thought. Esther enjoyed her book of positive aspects so much that she began writing pages on many subjects of her life. We encouraged her to not only write about the things in which she was seeking improved feelings, but to write about things she already felt mostly positive about, just to get in the habit of good-feeling thoughts and for the pleasure of good-feeling thoughts. It's a nice way to live.
The law of attraction adds power to thoughts.
Often, when experiencing an unwanted situation, you feel a need to explain why it has happened in an attempt, perhaps, to justify why you're in the situation. Whenever you're defending or justifying or rationalizing or blaming anything or anyone, you remain in a place of negative attraction. Every word you speak as you explain why something is not the way you want it to be continues the negative attraction, for you cannot be focused upon what you do want while you are explaining why you are experiencing something that you do not want. You cannot be focused upon negative aspects and positive aspects at the same time. Often, in an attempt to determine where your trouble started, you only hold yourself in that negative attraction longer. What's the source of my trouble? What's the reason that I'm not where I want to be? It's natural that you want improvement in your experience, and therefore it's logical that you are solution-oriented. But there's a big difference between seriously looking for a solution and justifying the need for a solution by emphasizing the problem. The realization that something is not as you want it to be is an important first step. But once you've identified that, the faster you're able to turn your attention in the direction of a solution, the better. Because a continuing exploration of the problem will prevent you from finding the solution. The problem is a different vibrational frequency than the solution. As you become aware of the value of the process of pivoting, and as you become adept at identifying what is not wanted and then immediately turn your attention toward what is wanted, you will realize that you are surrounded primarily by wonderful things, for there is so much more that is going right in your world than wrong. Also, a daily utilization of the book of positive aspects will help you to become more positively oriented. It will assist you in gradually tipping the balance of your thoughts more in the direction of what you do want. The more that you focus your attention with the intention of finding increasingly better feeling thoughts, the more you will realize that there is a very big difference between thinking about what you want and thinking about the absence of it. Whenever you're feeling uncomfortable as you're speaking or thinking about improving something you want, such as a better financial condition or an improved relationship or physical condition, you are in that moment preventing yourself from finding the improvement. The process of pivoting and the process of the book of positive aspects are both offered to assist you in recognizing in the early subtle stages of your creation that you are pulling on the very tips of that negative ball of twine so that you may right away release it and reach for the positive thread of thought instead. It is much easier to go from a thought of something that makes you feel a little better to an even better feeling thought to an even better feeling thought than to go directly to a wonderful feeling thought, because all thoughts or vibrations are affected are managed by law of attraction.
I'll begin my day with good-feeling thoughts.
When you are focused upon something that you really do not want, it is actually easier for you to remain focused upon that unwanted topic even finding other evidence to support that thought than it is to move to a more positive perspective, because thoughts that are likened to themselves are drawn. So if you attempt to make a big jump from a truly negative, unwanted topic immediately to a positive, delightful topic of something that you do want, you will not be able to make the jump, for there's too much vibrational disparity between the two thoughts. A determination to gently, generally, and steadily lean more and more in the direction of wanted things is really the best way to approach your personal vibrational improvement. When you first awaken in the morning, after a few hours of sleep, and therefore a vibrational detachment from unwanted things, you are in your most positive vibrational state. If you would begin your day, even before you get out of bed, by looking for a handful of positive aspects in your life, you will begin your day in a more positive vein, and the thoughts that the law of attraction will now provide as your springboard into each day will be much better feeling and beneficial. In other words, every morning you have an opportunity to establish another vibrational basis, a sort of set point that sets the general tone of your thoughts for the rest of the day. And while it is possible that some events of your day may deviate from that starting place, in time you will see that you have established complete control of your thoughts, of your vibration, of your point of attraction, of your life.
Sleep time is realignment of energies time.
While you're sleeping, or during the time that you're not consciously focused through your physical body, the attraction to your physical body stops. Sleep is a time when your inner being can realign your energies, and it is a time for refreshment and replenishment of your physical body. If, when you put yourself in your bed, you will say, "Tonight I will rest well. I know that all attraction to this body will stop, and when I awaken in the morning, I will literally reemerge back into my physical experience," you will receive the greatest benefit from your time of sleep. Awakening in the morning is not so different from being born. It's not so different from the day you first emerged into your physical body. So as you awaken, open your eyes and say, "Today I will look for reasons to feel good. Nothing is more important than that I feel good. Nothing is more important than that I choose thoughts that attract other thoughts that attract other thoughts that raise my vibrational frequency to the place where I can resonate with the positive aspects of the universe." You see, your vibration is right where you last left it. So if you lie in your bed worrying about a situation before you go to sleep, when you wake up, you will pick up right where your thoughts or vibration left off the night before. And then your thoughts for the day will get off on that negative footing. And then the law of attraction will continue to serve up for you other thoughts that are like those thoughts. But if you will make an effort as you go to sleep to identify some of the positive aspects of your life, and then deliberately release your thoughts as you remember that during your slumber you're going to detach and refresh, and then if when you awaken you will open your eyes and say, "Today I will look for reasons to feel good," you will begin to gain control of your thoughts and life. Rather than worrying about the problems of the world or thinking about things that you have to do today, just lie in your bed and look for the positive aspects of the moment. How wonderful this bed feels. How comforting the fabric feels. How good my body feels. How comfortable this pillow is. How refreshing the air is that I am breathing. How good it is to be alive. You will have begun to pull on that positive good-feeling rope. The law of attraction is like a giant magnifying glass, amplifying whatever is. And so as you awaken and look for some reasons, something very immediate to you to feel good about, the law of attraction will then offer you another thought that feels like that, and then another, and then another, and that really is what we call getting out of bed on the right foot. With a little bit of effort and a desire to feel good, you can redirect your thoughts to more and more pleasing scenarios until you will change your habits of thought as well as your point of attraction, and the evidence of your improvement in thought will begin to show up right away.
An example of a positive aspects bedtime process.
Your action orientation in life causes you to believe that it takes hard work to make things happen. But as you learn to deliberately direct your thoughts, you will discover that there is tremendous leverage and power in thought. As you focus more consistently only in the direction of what you desire, rather than diluting the power of your thought by thinking of the wanted and then the unwanted, you will understand from your personal experience what we mean. Because of your action orientation, you often try too hard and work too hard, and as a result of that, most of you bring yourselves more to the attention of what is wrong, or more to the attention of what needs to be fixed than you do to the attention of what you desire. Here's a good way to apply the process of positive aspects at bedtime. Once you're in your bed, try to recall some of the most pleasant things that happened during the day. Since many things have undoubtedly happened during this day, you may have to ponder for a little while, and you may remember some of the less than pleasant things that happened. But stick to your intention of finding something pleasing, and when you find it, ponder it. Prime your positive pump by saying things such as, "The thing I liked about that was," or "My favorite part of that was," and then follow any positive thread that you find, thinking about the best parts of your day. And then, once you're feeling the effect of your positive thoughts, focus on your dominant intention right now, which is getting a good night's sleep and awakening refreshed in the morning. Say to yourself, "I'm going to sleep now, and while I'm sleeping, because my thoughts will be inactive, attraction will stop and my physical body will be completely refreshed at every level." Turn your attention to the immediate things around you, like the comfort of your bed or the softness of your pillow, the well-being of your moment, and then softly set forth the intention, "I will sleep well, and I will awaken refreshed with another new, good-feeling, positive point of attraction." And then off to sleep you go.
An example of a positive aspects morning process.
As you awaken the next morning, you will be in that positive, good-feeling place, and your first thoughts will be something like, "Ah, I'm awake. I've reemerged back into the physical." Lie there for a little while and bask in the comfort of your bed, and then offer a thought such as, "Today, no matter where I'm going, and no matter what I'm doing, no matter who I'm doing it with, it is my dominant intent to look for things that feel good. When I feel good, I'm vibrating with my higher power. When I feel good, I'm in harmony with that which I consider to be good. When I feel good, I'm in the mode of attracting that which will please me once it gets here. And when I feel good, I feel good. It's just good to feel good, if the only thing it ever brought you is the way you feel in the moment. Ah, but feeling good brings ever so much more beyond that." We would lie in the bed for 2 or 3 minutes. That is enough. And we would look for positive aspects of our surroundings. And then, as we move into the day, we would begin to acknowledge more positive aspects, looking for more reasons to feel good, no matter what the object of our attention is. In the first moment of any negative emotion, which will very likely occur even though you've begun your day looking for reasons to feel good, because there is, upon some subjects, some negative momentum already in motion, so don't worry about it. But upon the first inclination of any negative emotion, we would stop and say, "I want to feel good. I'm feeling some negative emotion, which means that I'm focusing upon something that I do not want. Now, what is it that I want?" And then we would turn our attention immediately to that which we want, staying focused upon the new thought or the positive thought long enough that we could feel the positive energy again beginning to flow through our body. As you move through your day, look for more reasons to laugh and more reasons to have fun. When you want to feel good and you do not take things so seriously, and when you're not taking things so seriously, you're not as likely to notice the lack of things wanted, and when you're not focused upon the lack of what you desire, you just feel better. And when you feel better, you attract more of what you do want, and your life just gets better and better and better. And then that night, as you lie in your bed, you will have many wonderful things to ponder as you drift off into your restful, refreshing sleep. And then you will awaken into an even better feeling new day tomorrow.
I know how I want to feel.
Sometimes when you're in the midst of an uncomfortable situation, you struggle to find any positive aspects within it. Some things are intolerable. Some things are so big and so bad that it does not seem possible for you to find anything positive about it. But that's because you're attempting to take too large of a jump from the awfulness of what you're focused upon to the solution that you desire. In other words, if you want to find an action solution right now that will fix this, but you find yourself in a situation where no action that you can take seems appropriate, always remember that while there may not be a positive aspect to your action in this moment, and while you may not be able to figure out what to do that would make you feel better, you always do know how you want to feel. It's a bit like someone saying, "I've just jumped out of an airplane and I have no parachute. What should I do now?" There are situations where, given the current circumstances, there is no action or thought that, at this point, will make a significant enough difference to change the outcome that's barreling in upon you. And in the same way that sometimes you cannot find any action that will fix things, there's no thought that will immediately change it either. But if you understand the power of your thought and the incredible leverage that consistently good-feeling thoughts provide, and you begin deliberately choosing your thoughts by utilizing the guidance that your feelings or emotions are indicating to you, you can easily transform your life into predominantly good feeling experiences by focusing upon the improved feeling. If you're able to find even the smallest feeling of relief in a deliberately chosen thought, your gentle path toward your solution will begin. What to do in certain situations may not be clear to you, and you may at times not even be able to identify what it is that you want to have, but there is never a time that you are unable to identify to some extent how you want to feel. In other words, you know that you would rather feel happy than sad. You know you'd rather be refreshed than tired or invigorated rather than enervated. You know that you would rather feel productive than unproductive. You know that you would rather feel free than confined and growing rather than stagnant. There is not enough action available to compensate for misaligned thought. But when you begin to gain control of the way you feel by more deliberately choosing the direction of your thought, you'll discover the powerful leverage in thought. If you will bring yourself to a more deliberate control of your own thought, you will bring yourself to a more deliberate control of your own life experience.
Nothing is more important than feeling good.
Becoming more deliberate about the things you think is not a difficult thing. You're often particular about what you eat, or the vehicle you drive, or the clothes you wear. And being a deliberate thinker does not require much more deliberate discrimination than that. But learning to deliberately direct your thoughts toward the aspect of the subject that feels best to you will have a much greater impact on the improvement of your life than the choosing of a meal or of a vehicle or of clothing. Once you read these words and feel your own personal resonance with their meaning and power, you'll never again feel negative emotion without realizing that you are receiving important guidance to assist you in guiding your thoughts in a more productive and beneficial direction. In other words, you will never again feel negative emotion and not understand that it means you are in the process of attracting something unwanted. A significant thing is happening with you as you are coming into conscious awareness of your emotions and the guidance that they provide. Because even in your ignorance of what negative emotion meant, you were still negatively attracting. And so understanding your emotion now gives you control of your life experience. When you're feeling less than good, if you will stop and say, "Nothing is more important than that I feel good. I want to find a reason now to feel good," you will find an improved thought, which will lead to another and another. And as you develop the habit of looking for good-feeling thoughts, the circumstances that surround you must improve. The law of attraction demands it. When you feel good, you experience the sensation of doors opening as the universe is cooperating with you. And when you feel bad, it feels as if doors are closing and the cooperation stops. Anytime you feel negative emotion, you are in the mode of resisting something that you want, and that resistance takes its toll on you. It takes its toll on your physical body, and it takes its toll on the wonderful things that you're allowing to come into your experience. Through your process of living life and noticing things wanted and unwanted, you've created a sort of vibrational escrow, which in a sense holds for you those wanted things you've identified, until you become a close enough vibrational match to them that you allow yourself a fully manifested receiving of them. But until you find a way to feel good about them, even though they have not yet manifested in your experience, it may seem to you that they're on the outside of a door that you cannot open. However, as you begin to look for more positive aspects regarding the things that occupy your thoughts, and as you deliberately choose the more positive end of the stick of possibilities regarding the subjects that dominate your thought processes, that door will open, and everything that you desire will flow easily into your experience.
It gets better the better it gets.
When you deliberately seek positive aspects of whatever you're giving your attention to, you, in a sense, tune your vibrational tuner to more positive aspects of everything. And, of course, you could tune yourself negatively as well. Many people struggle in an attitude of self-criticism as a result of negative comparison that has been directed to them from parents or teachers or peers, and there's nothing more detrimental to your ability to positively attract than a negative attitude toward yourself. So sometimes by choosing a subject about which you have practiced fewer negative thoughts, you can tune yourself to a better feeling frequency. And then from that better feeling place, as you redirect your thoughts toward yourself, you will find more positive aspects about yourself than usual. Once you find more positive aspects of the world that surrounds you, you will begin to find more positive aspects about yourself. And when that happens, finding more positive aspects about your world will be easier still. When you find things about yourself that you do not like, you will find more of those things in others. You say, the worse it gets, the worse it gets. But as you are deliberately looking for positive aspects in yourself or in others, you will find more of those things. The better it gets, the better it gets. We cannot overemphasize the value in looking for positive aspects and focusing upon more of things wanted, because everything that comes to you is dependent upon that very simple premise. You get more and more of what you are thinking about, whether you want it or not.
My universe is positively and negatively balanced.
So you are the creator of your experience, or you could say that you are the attractor of your experience. Creating is not about identifying something wanted and then going after it and capturing it. Creating is about focusing upon the subject of desire, tuning your thoughts more precisely to the aspects of the subject that you would like to experience, and therefore allowing the law of attraction to bring it to you. Whether you're remembering something from the past, imagining something about the future, or observing something from your now, you're offering thought vibrations that the law of attraction is responding to. You may refer to your thoughts as desires or beliefs. A belief is only a thought that you keep thinking. But whatever you're giving your attention to is establishing your point of attraction. Because every subject is actually two subjects, what is wanted and the lack of what is wanted, it's possible to believe that you're positively focused when in fact you are negatively focused. A person may say, I want more money, but what they're actually focused upon is the fact that they don't have as much money as they need. Most people talk most often about their desire to be healthy when they're feeling sick. In other words, their attention to what they do not want is what is prompting their remarks about what they do want. But in the majority of cases, even though they may be speaking words that seem to indicate that they're focused upon their desire, they are not. It's only by consciously recognizing how you're feeling while you're speaking that you really know if you are positively or negatively attracting. And while you may not see immediate evidence of what you are in the process of attracting, whatever you're thinking about is amassing matching thoughts and vibrations and energies, and eventually the evidence of your attraction will be obvious.
My universe responds to my attention too.
Most people believe, or would like to believe, that everything in the universe responds to their words in the same way that other people around them can sometimes be trained to behave. When you tell someone, yes, come to me, you expect them to come. When you say, no, go away from me, you expect them to go. But you live in an attraction-based universe, an inclusion-based universe, which simply means there's no such thing as no. When you give your attention to something wanted and you say, yes, come to me, you include it in your vibration, and the law of attraction begins the process of bringing it. But when you look at something unwanted and you say, no, I do not want you, go away, the universe brings that also. Your attention to it, and therefore your vibrational alignment with it, is what's causing the response, not your words. And so as you say, perfect health, I seek you, I want you, I bask in the idea of perfect health, you are attracting health. But as you say, sickness, I do not want you, you are attracting sickness. As you say, no, 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 it's coming closer, closer, closer. Because the more you struggle against something that you do not want, the more engulfed in it you become. People often believe that once they find their perfect mate or achieve their perfect body weight or accumulate enough money, then once and for all they will find the happiness that they seek. But nowhere is there a little corner of something where only positive aspects exist. The perfect balance of the universe says that positive and negative, wanted and unwanted, exist in all particles of the universe. When you as the creator, the chooser, the definer, the decider, when you look for positive aspects, that becomes what you live in all aspects of your life. You don't have to wait around for that perfect thing to show itself to you so that you can then have a positive response to it. Instead, you can positively train your thoughts and vibrations, and then you will become the attractor of it, or the creator of it. We would encourage you to begin each day with the statement, today, no matter where I go, no matter what I am doing, and no matter who I'm doing it with, it is my dominant intent to look for what I am wanting to see. Remember, when you awaken in the morning, you are reborn. While you have slumbered, all attraction has stopped. That sequestering away for a few hours of sleep, where your consciousness is no longer attracting, gives you a refreshing new beginning. And so, Unless you wake up in the morning and begin regurgitating what troubled you the day before, it will not trouble you in your new day, in your new birth, in your new beginning.
Decisions to feel good attract good feelings.
A woman said to us, when she found out that she was going to be attending some holiday parties, she said, as soon as I heard that I was going, I started thinking, oh, Mary's going to be there, and she's going to look so gorgeous. She realized that just the idea of the party was causing her to compare herself to other people. And she said to us, I want to stop doing that. I want to feel good about me and just enjoy the parties no matter who's there. She asked us if we could help her with the process of pivoting in positive aspects. She knew she was feeling self-conscious and didn't know what to do about it. She said, I don't even want to go to the parties. We said to her, while your feeling of self-consciousness is amplified as you think about going to these parties, it's not Mary who is the reason for your discomfort. It often feels very complicated to sort out your relationships with other people. Sometimes you even try to trace those feelings back to your childhood, but there really is no point in doing that. You have the ability from right where you stand right now to find positive or negative aspects, to think of wanted or unwanted. And whether you begin the process now or several days before you go to the party, or whether you wait until you're at the party, your work is still the same. You must look for things that feel good when you focus upon them. Because you have more control over what's activated in your own mind, it is usually much easier to find the positive aspect of a situation before you're standing right in the middle of it. So if you do imagine the situation as you want it to be, and you take the time to practice your positive response to the upcoming situation, then when you're at the party, you will witness the control that you set into motion days before you were at the party. You cannot feel good and bad at the same time. You can't focus upon wanted and unwanted at the same time. So if you've trained your thoughts to what you consider to be good or wanted before you arrive at the party, the law of attraction will deliver to you things that feel good and are wanted. It really is as simple as that. We said to our friend, if you want to feel different at these upcoming parties than you've felt at the parties in previous years, you have to begin telling a different story. The story you've been telling goes something like, I'm only invited to these parties because of my relationship with my maid. It really is not important to anyone that I be there. I'm not really a part of his work environment, and I don't really understand most of the things that they're interested in. I'm like an outsider. Mary doesn't feel like an outsider like I do. Her confidence is obvious in the way she dresses and carries herself. I always feel less attractive and less smart, less everything when I'm near Mary. I hate feeling like this. I wish I didn't have to go. We told our friend, here's an example of a better feeling story. My maid is well respected at his firm. It's nice that his company occasionally provides an opportunity for people who work there to include their spouses to get to know one another. No one there expects me to be up to speed with the inner workings of that environment. In fact, this is a party where they will probably enjoy thinking about things other than their work. Life's much larger than what happens at my husband's office, and since I'm never there, I may very well appear to be a breath of fresh air to many of them, because I'm not bogged down in the things that they're troubled about. Mary seems light and friendly. She's clearly not bogged down in office politics or problems. It's fun to watch her. She's interesting. I wonder where she buys her clothes. Very pretty things she wears. We wanted our friend to see that it's not necessary to sort out every insecurity that she had ever felt and use this office party as a means to solve it. We told her, just find something positive to focus upon and feel the benefit of having done so. And in time, Mary, or all the Marys, will be a non-issue. In fact, Mary could become your friend, but in any case, it's your decision to make. You just have to vibrationally practice it to make it so.
How can I not feel their pain?
Our friend Jerry said to us that it seemed to him that the majority of his discomfort is because of observing others who are in discomfort or in pain. And he wanted to know how he could use the pivoting process to not feel pain about their pain. We explained that whatever the subject of your attention, it contains things that you want to see as well as things that you do not want to see. If you are feeling pain, It is not because the person that you are observing is in pain. Your pain is because you've chosen to look at an aspect of them that causes you to feel pain, and there's a big difference. Of course, if this person were not feeling pain but were instead joyful, it would be easier for you to feel joyful. But you must not rely on conditions changing in order to control the way you feel. You must improve your ability to focus positively regardless of the condition. And to do that, it helps to remember that every subject has wanted and unwanted within it. And if you are deliberate, you can find something that feels better. Of course, it is easier just to observe something that's right before your eyes than it is to deliberately sift for things that you would prefer to see. However, when it really matters to you that you feel good, you'll be less willing to merely lazily or sloppily observe, because your desire to feel good will inspire a greater willingness to look for positive aspects. Also, the more you do look for good-feeling things to focus upon, the more of those kinds of good-feeling things the law of attraction will bring to you, until in time you'll be so positively oriented that you simply will not notice the things that don't match your positive orientation. We were visiting with a mother at one time, and we encouraged her to just ignore her son's problems. And she said, "But won't he feel like I've abandoned him? Don't I need to be there for him?" And we explained to her that there is no abandonment in focusing upon the positive aspects of someone's life, and there is powerful value in abandoning any thoughts that do not feel good when you think them. We told her, "You will never help anyone by being their sounding board for problems or complaints. By holding an image of improvement in your son's life, you help him move toward that. Be there for him. Call him there to that better feeling place." When it's your deliberate intention to feel good, and you really care about how you feel, you'll find more and more thoughts about more and more subjects that do feel good. And then you will be better prepared to interface with others who could be feeling good or bad. Because of your desire to feel good, you will have pre-paved your experience with others with whom you will be interacting, and then it will be much easier for you to focus positively about their situation, no matter what sort of mess they're in. But if you've not been tending to your own vibration, and you've not been consistently holding yourself in good-feeling thoughts and vibrations, then you may be swept away into their situation, and you may very well feel discomfort. We just want to emphasize that you're not feeling their pain caused by their situation, but instead, you are feeling your own pain brought about by your own thinking. There's great control in that understanding, and in fact, true freedom. When you discover that you can control the way you feel because you can control the thoughts you think, then you are free to joyously move about your planet. But when you believe that the way you feel is dependent upon the behavior or situations of others, and you also understand that you have no control over those behaviors or situations, you do not feel free. That, in fact, was the pain that our friend Jerry was describing.
My sympathy is of no value to anyone.
So then Jerry said to us, "So when I take my attention off those who are in trouble, I'll feel good, but still that doesn't help them feel better. In other words, I haven't solved the problem, I'm just avoiding the problem." And we told him, if you don't focus upon their problem, you can continue to feel good, but they'll still have the problem. That is true at first. But if you do focus upon their problem, you'll feel bad, they continue to feel bad, and they'll still have the problem. And if you continue to focus upon their problem, in time, you will have the problem too. However, if you don't focus upon their problem, but instead you try to imagine their solution or a positive outcome, you'll feel good. And then there is the possibility of your influencing them to more positive thoughts and outcomes. In simple terms, you are never of value to another, and you never offer a solution when you are feeling negative emotion, because the presence of negative emotion within you means you're focused upon the lack of what is wanted rather than what is wanted. So if someone's having a bad experience and they come into your awareness with a powerful wind of negativity wrapped around them, if you have not already deliberately achieved your alignment with feeling good, you may be swept into their negativity. You may become part of their chain of pain, and you may very well then pass your discomfort on to another who will then pass it on to another, and so on. But if you have been deliberately setting the tone of your day by putting your head on your pillow each night and saying, "Tonight as I sleep, all attraction will stop, which means tomorrow I will have a new beginning, and tomorrow I will look for what I'm wanting to see because I want to feel good, because feeling good is the most important thing," As you awaken in the morning, you will be upon a fresh path, bringing no negativity from the day before. And then, as you walk into a room and you see someone with pain coming toward you, as this person comes with his pain, you don't become part of it, but instead, you provide a better example of happiness. For that which you feel is that which you radiate. Now, it's not likely that just because you remain happy, others will immediately join you in your happiness. In fact, when there's a great disparity between the way you are feeling and the way others are feeling, you will have a difficult time relating to one another. But in time, if you maintain your positive vibrational stance, they will either join you in your positive place or they will vibrate right out of your experience. The only way unhappy people can stay in your experience is by your continuing attention to them and their unhappiness. If you and two other people were walking along a mountain ledge, and you were not watching where you were going, and you stumbled and fell over the edge, and you were hanging by a very flimsy vine, and one of your friends was very strong and sure-footed, and the other was very clumsy and not focused, which one would you be glad was there? Looking for the positive aspects is the way you find your sure footing. It is who you are from an inner perspective. And as you consistently align with increasingly better feeling thoughts, the powerful resources of the universe become available to you. To sympathize with another means to focus upon their situation until you feel as they feel. And since everyone has the potential of feeling wonderful or feeling awful, of succeeding at their desires or of failing at their desires, you have options about which aspects of them you sympathize with. We encourage you to sympathize with the best feeling aspects of others that you can find, and in doing so, you may influence them to an improved condition also.
To not hurt when they feel hurt.
A man once asked us, "How do you end a relationship without being hurt by the other person being hurt? If you decide that it's time to move on and the other person's not ready to move on, so he or she is distraught, how can you keep your balance in a situation like that?" And we said to him, when you attempt to guide your behavior by paying attention to how someone else feels about your behavior, you're powerless because you cannot control their perspective and therefore you cannot achieve any consistent improvement in your own vibration or point of attraction or how you feel. If you've decided to take the action of leaving a relationship before you've done the vibrational work of focusing upon what you want and why you want it, any action that you take can only bring you more of the same discomfort that you've been experiencing. And even once the relationship is ended and you are alone or beginning another relationship with another person, those old lingering negative vibrations will not allow a pleasant unfolding. In other words, it's so much better to find your vibrational balance before you take the action of separation, or you may experience a rather long time of discomfort. We told our friend, let's examine the components of the situation and bring some clarity to your options. You've come to the conclusion, as a result of being unhappy in this relationship for a while, that it would be better to end it. In other words, you believe that your chance of happiness is greater outside of the relationship than inside it. But when you announce that to your partner becomes even more unhappy. And now because your partner is more unhappy, you're more unhappy. One option is to stay. To say, never mind, don't be unhappy, I've changed my mind, I'll stay. But all that has happened is that you were both feeling unhappy, you made a decision to leave, which made your partner even more unhappy, and now you've pulled back from that decision, so your partner is not quite as unhappy as before, but still, neither of you are happy, so nothing has changed except that things got a bit more intense for a while, but basically, you're still unsatisfied and unhappy in this relationship. Another option is to just leave. You could focus upon all of the things that have caused you to feel uncomfortable in the relationship and use those things as your justification for leaving. And while that negative focus upon negative things will give you the conviction to take the action of leaving, you will really not feel that much better. While you may feel some relief from the intensity of your unhappiness once you're on the outside of the relationship, you'll continue to feel a need to justify your action of leaving, which will continue to hold you in an unpleasant state. So even though you've walked away from the things that were really bothering you, you'll still feel bothered. Really, there is nothing that you can do to prevent others from feeling bad because they don't feel bad because of your behavior. There's no greater entrapment in relationship or in life than an attempt to keep others happy by observing their emotions and then trying to compensate with your actions. The only way you can be happy is to decide to be happy. When you take upon yourself the responsibility of someone else's happiness, you're attempting the impossible, and you're setting yourself up for a great deal of personal discord. So now let's consider the options of pivoting and positive aspects. Stay where you are for now, making no big change in your action or behavior. In other words, if you're living together, continue to do so. If you're spending time together, continue to do so. This option is a change in your thought process, not your action process. The process of pivoting and the process of positive aspects are designed to help you focus differently and to begin telling the story of your relationship or of your life in a better feeling, more self-empowering way. For example, I've been thinking about leaving this relationship because I find that I'm not happy within it. But as I think about leaving, I realize that when I go, I'll take myself with me. And if I leave because I'm unhappy, I'll be taking that unhappy person with me. The reason that I want to leave is because I want to feel good. I wonder if it's possible to feel good without leaving. I wonder if there's anything about our relationship that I could focus upon that does feel good. I remember meeting this person and how that felt. I remember feeling drawn by this person and eager to move forward to see what more we might discover together. I liked the feeling of discovery. I liked our relationship as it began. I think that the more time we spent together, the more we realized that we were not really a perfect match. I don't believe that there's any failure on either of our parts in that. Not being a perfect match doesn't mean that either of us is wrong. It only means that there are potentially better partners out there for each of us. There are so many things about this person that I like and that anyone would easily appreciate. So smart and interested in so many things. Laughs easily, likes to have fun. I'm glad that we've come together, and I believe that our time together will prove to be of value to both of us. So our answer to this important question is, you cannot control the pain that any other feels by modifying your behavior. You can, however, control your own pain by directing your thoughts until your pain subsides and is replaced by improved feelings. As you give your attention to what you're wanting, you will always begin to feel good. As you give your attention to the lack of what you're wanting, you will always feel bad. And if you give your attention to the lack of what someone else is wanting, you'll feel bad also. You're so action-oriented as physical beings that you really think that you have to fix everything right now. Your partner did not get to this place all of a sudden. Your partner did not even get there only during your relationship. It's been a long path. Momentum has been gathering along the way. So don't expect that a conversation that you're having in this moment is going to make all of the difference. See yourself as one who is planting a seed, a very strong, sure, powerful seed. You've planted it perfectly, and you've nurtured it for a time with your words, so that long after you're gone, that seed will continue to blossom into that which it is to be. There are many relationships that are not appropriate for you to continue, but we would never walk out of a relationship feeling angry or guilty or defensive. Do the vibrational work, get to feeling good, and then leave. And then what comes next will not be a replay of what you just left.
I'm not responsible for others' creations.
You must not accept the responsibility for what others are doing in their own life experience. See them as emerging from the lack and know that it's going to get better for them later. And then you'll begin to feel better. You may even inspire them in their sleep state to an improved direction. When you think about them, see them as happy. Don't regurgitate in your mind the sad conversations you've had or the parting. Instead, envision them as getting on with their life just as you're getting on with yours. Trust that they have the guidance within them to find their own way. What trips most of you up so often in your wanting to help others is that you believe they need me because they can't help themselves. But that belief is detrimental to them because down deep inside, they know they can do it, and they're wanting to do it. Begin to say things to your partner such as, "You're such a wonderful person. And while we haven't connected on as many levels as I would like, I know there's a perfect partner waiting for you, and I'm releasing you to that opportunity. Look for it. I don't want to keep you caged here, captive to something that neither one of us wants. I want to free us both to that which we both are wanting. I'm not telling you goodbye forever. I'm saying, let's let this relationship have a new understanding between us, one that's inspired from passionate, positive desire, not one that's whipped into place because we're afraid of the possible consequences. And then say to the person, when I think of you, I will always know that while you're sad now, you're going to be happy later. I'm going to choose to see you as happy because that's the way I like you best, and that's what you like best too. This may sound tough or cold, but nothing else makes sense.
Listen for guidance or reach for good feelings.
You have the ability to pivot under any and all conditions. It does not matter how negative something seems, you have the ability to give your attention to the positive aspects of it. The only things that get in your way are some old habits or maybe some strong influence from others. Most people are habitual in nature, and your patterns are so well entrenched that at times the fastest path to the joy you seek is for you to take your pivot as you sleep and then awaken in the new day already in the direction of what you're wanting. By reaching for good feeling thoughts before you go to sleep and then experiencing the benefit of the quiet mind that occurs while you sleep and then upon awakening immediately turning to good feeling thoughts, you can accomplish the ultimate pivoting experience. A few days of following that pattern will provide a big change in your habit of thought and your point of attraction, and you'll discover immediate improvement in virtually every aspect of your life.
What if I played the what-if game?
As we encourage that you do your best to find positive aspects upon whatever subject is before you, there are often those who ask, but what about the man who just lost his job and has a wife and 5 children and his rent is due in 2 days and he doesn't have the money to pay it? Or what about the woman who has the Gestapo army at her door about to take her to be killed in a gas chamber? How could these people pivot? And to those extreme questions, we often reply, it's as if you've jumped out of an airplane at an altitude of 20,000 feet and you have no parachute, and so you're saying, now what do I do? You're usually not faced with such extreme circumstances from which it seems there is no possible comfortable escape. However, these extreme situations, with all of the drama and trauma that they bring, also bring a power that, with the right focus, can provide resolutions that someone watching from the outside would find astonishing or even miraculous. In other words, there is no situation from which you cannot find a positive resolution, but you have to be able to focus powerfully in order to accomplish such a solution. And most people who are in those kinds of situations are not adept at that kind of focus, which is why they are experiencing the negative situation to begin with. When you're involved in extreme situations, a power comes forth from within, and so the intensity of your desire will put you upon a plateau where, if you can just get focused, you can have your greater elevation. In other words, those who are very sick are in a better position to be even more well than most others, because their desire for wellness is amplified. But unless they're able to pivot or to turn their attention to their desire for wellness and away from their concern about illness, they cannot become well. We would encourage you to play the what-if game, looking for positive aspects. In other words, rather than looking into your society for examples of disempowered people having no control over the circumstances of their lives, tell a story that gives you a feeling of empowerment. Instead of telling stories of powerless victims and amplifying your own feeling of being a victim, tell a different story. For example, what if this woman, before the Gestapo army came pounding on her door, had recognized the rumblings of the looming Holocaust that were in the community weeks before? What if she'd left the community when many others had left? What if she'd not been afraid of the unknown? What if she'd not held to the familiar? What if she'd made the decision to start a new life in a new country with her sister and her aunt and uncle 2 weeks ago so that she was not at home when the Gestapo came calling? When you play the what-if game, look for things you do want to see. Look for things that make you feel better. There is never a situation in which there is not a way out. In fact, there are hundreds and thousands of practical choices along the way. But out of habit, most people continue to choose the lack perspective in situations until they eventually find themselves in an unwanted place where it seems that there are no more choices. As you hold to your intention to look for evidence of well-being and thriving and success and happiness, you will tune yourself to the vibrations of those things, and so those kinds of good-feeling experiences will dominate your life. Today, no matter where I'm going, no matter what I'm doing, it is my dominant intent to look for what I am wanting to see. As you make the decision that you're not a mere observer of your world, but a deliberate positive contributor to your world, you'll find great pleasure in your involvement with what's going on upon your planet. When you witness things that you do not want to happen in your world, in your nation, in your neighborhood, in your family, or even in your personal body, and you remember that you have the power to tell a different story, and you also know that there is enormous power in telling a different story, you will then step back into the exuberant knowledge that you held when you made the decision to come forth to participate on this planet to begin with. You cannot be in a place other than where you are right now, but you do have the power to begin to express your perspective about where you are in increasingly better ways. And as you do that consciously and deliberately, you'll see the evidence of the power of your focus on every subject to which you turn your attention. As you make the decision that you want to feel good and you consciously look for positive aspects within the subjects that you're involved in every day, and as you deliberately identify and focus upon what you do want regarding these subjects, you'll set yourself upon a path of eternal, unfolding satisfaction and joy. These processes are simple to understand and to apply, but don't let their simplicity cause you to underestimate their power. Consistently apply them and show yourself the leverage of the power of aligned thought. Discover the power of the energy that creates worlds, the power that you have always had ready access to, but which you now understand how to apply, and focus it toward your own personal creations.
Part 2, Attracting Money and Manifesting Abundance.
While money is not absolutely essential to your experience, to most people, money and freedom are synonymous. And since an intense awareness of your right to be free is at the very core of that which you are, it then follows that your relationship with money is one of the most important subjects of your life experience. And so it's no wonder you have such strong feelings about the subject of money. Although some people have discovered the freedom of allowing large amounts of money to flow through their experience, it's more often the case that because you're experiencing far less money than you need or desire, most of you are not feeling free. It is our intention here to clearly explain why this financial disparity exists, so that you can begin to allow the abundance that you want and deserve into your experience. As you hear these words and as you begin to resonate with these law-based truths, you'll align your desire with the abundance of your world, and then the evidence of your newfound alignment will soon become apparent to you and to others who observe you. Whether you're one who's been working to achieve financial abundance for many years, or you're a youngster just starting down that path, the journey to financial well-being does not have to be a long one from where you are. And it does not require large amounts of time or physical effort, for we're going to explain to you in simple and easy-to-understand terms how to utilize the leverage of energy that's available to you. We want to show you the absolute correlation between the thoughts you've been thinking about money, the way you feel when you think those thoughts, and the money that flows into your experience. When you're able to consciously make that correlation, and you decide to deliberately direct your thoughts accordingly, you'll access the power of the universe, and you'll then see how time and physical effort are rather irrelevant to your financial success. So we will begin with the simple premise of your universe and of your world. You get what you think about. Often people say to us, that can't be true, because I've wanted and thought about more money for as long as I can remember, but I continue to struggle and not have enough money. And what we tell them then is the most important thing for you to understand if you want to improve your financial situation. The subject of money is really two subjects. Money, plenty of money, the feeling of freedom and ease that plenty of money can provide, and absence of money, not nearly enough money, the feeling of fear or disappointment that the thought of absence of money induces. Often people assume that because they're speaking the words, I want more money, they're speaking positively about money. But when you're speaking of money or anything, and you're feeling fear or discomfort as you speak, you're not speaking about the subject of money, but instead you're speaking about the subject of not enough money. And the difference is very important because the first statement brings money and the second holds it away. It is of value for you to become aware of how you are really thinking, and more important, how you're feeling about money. If you're thinking or saying things like, oh, that's a very beautiful thing, but I can't afford it, you're not in a vibrational place to allow the abundance in that you desire. The feeling of disappointment that is present as you acknowledge that you cannot afford it is your indicator that the balance of your thought is pointed more toward the lack of your desire than toward the desire itself. The negative emotion that you feel as you acknowledge that you cannot afford something that you want is one way of understanding the balance of your thoughts, and the amount of abundance that you're actually experiencing.